Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Coming up on today's podcast, it's a Saturday special as we fix the problems with charging. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, show 615 today, and this is your edition for the weekend for Saturday, the 19th of October. My name is Martin Lee, and I'm delighted to be joined on the podcast today by someone who is the founder and designer, and programmer, of a brilliant website and app fixing the frustrations that some of us have felt over the years with EVs, when you want to charge, when there aren't too many chargers around. It's a brilliant website and a brilliant app. I've been signed up member of it. It's a free thing to use. It's called needtocharge.com. From needtocharge.com, welcome to EV News Daily, Chris Schofield. Hello.
Hello.
Do you want to just tell me a little bit more about the basic principle of it? It's something that it enables people to anonymously connect. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, effectively. So the idea of Need to Charge is it's a way of helping your fellow EV drivers to get in contact with you when they need to charge if you're on a charger. There's always people talking about, you know, people hogging chargers and EV rage and all that sort of thing. This isn't sort of trying to tackle that, but this is more about me as a responsible EV driver. I want to say, look, I'm on a charger. There's a restaurant here and I'm going to use the restaurant. And this is, you know, one of the reasons it first started, because the charger was at a Rapid, was outside a pub. I wanted to go in the pub and have dinner while the car was charging. And coming out, I didn't want to have to keep checking every half hour or, you know, every 10 minutes on a Rapid to see whether someone needed to charge. So I wanted to be able to let them contact me. A responsible way of doing it was that. And I didn't want to leave my mobile number or anything like that, as you suggest. You summed it up pretty well.
I'm probably quite typical of many people who don't have a knowledge of how to make a product, but having an idea and thinking, wouldn't it be great if this existed? And that idea pops into my brain and then it flies out of it almost as quickly, and then we get on with our day. You are obviously the kind of person where an idea comes into your head and you go, I know how to fix that. So where do you start with, I mean, I'm talking like the hardcore coding of that. How do you start to come to that problem? Did you do it? Did you get somebody else to do it and you were just the idea? How did that work?
Well, I guess it all starts off with doing the lazy thing, which is, well, someone else must have fixed this problem initially. So I did look and see who else had done this sort of thing. And there was an app called ChargeBump, which attempted to do something similar, but that was from the point of view of someone's hogging the charger, I want them to get off. And in fact, I was actually using it, and I just sort of moved into a block of flats, and that had a shared EV charger. And I was trying to use it amongst the people there. But the thing is, every time you got a new person that came along, they needed to sign up for the app as well, and it became a bit of a faff and that sort of thing. So I thought, let's try and solve this myself. So, I just put together a quick website and app and just saw if it worked amongst, say, the 5 people in my block of flats, and then just sort of thought, well, how can I just make this a bit more useful for the broader public? And so just built it out like that, you know, making sure I had an iPhone app, an Android app. I coded it all myself. I did the website myself, and it's my background is I'm a geek. So these sort of things are, if it's not there, just make it yourself sort of thing.
In an ideal world, there would be chargers for
everybody when they turn up to an EV charging station, but we don't live in an ideal world, and the infrastructure is always going to be either slightly ahead or slightly behind what's needed. Nobody wants to build a charging station with 40 chargers, although actually we would love that, and for them never to be used. Equally, we want more than just one solitary charger at a motorway service station that everyone's queuing up to charge. Were you thinking about the bigger picture, as it were, like the infrastructure thing?
Yeah, so I guess my first EV was an i3. I've still got it, actually, so and absolutely love it. But the infrastructure has been evolving. So I've had that a few years, and the infrastructure has been evolving, which is great. But it's still got quite a long way to go. And, you know, whether there are chargers that you turn up to and aren't necessarily working, or there are, you know, a new charger pops up in a location, but it's only one charger. So I think there's a long way that the infrastructure can go. And obviously, you know, we talk about Tesla quite a lot on the podcast, and I've recently got myself a Model 3, and the infrastructure is just there. It's so much more advanced. And, you know, you go to a charging station and there's like 8 of them. That for me was actually one of the main driving forces behind going for a Tesla. And I'm very, very much hoping that the general infrastructure improves as well. But yeah, let's see how the government are going to do on that one.
The idea is that nobody has to register for an app. Nobody has to register for a website. They can simply go to needtocharge.com and put in the registration number of a car that is on charge. And if that person who is charging the car has registered, they will receive a notification. How do they get those notifications? Is it a text? Is it an email?
One person needs to sign up for an account, which is the person with the car that's going to be on charge. But yeah, you're right. The person then that coming along needing to who wants to request a charge, they don't need the app. They just go to needtocharge.com and put in the registration number. The person that's on charge, they then can choose how they get notified, whether it's by an email or whether it's by push notifications to your Android or iPhone device. And then also I'm working on getting text messaging set up as well. I guess one of the problems is, you know, I give this app away free. There are no adverts. I want to, you know, to spread the love. I want as many people to use it as possible. But then as I introduce things which actually start costing me, like text message charging, I need to work out how to support that. That's exactly how it is. And I'm trying to look at other ways that just to make it as easy as possible to use. So one of the ways is that you can, on the website, if you're registered, you can download something that goes in where you used to put your tax disc, a little slip there. And on it, there's a QR code, and that QR code is directly linked to your vehicle. So it just has your registration number in it. So when someone comes along, they can just scan the QR code and it'll launch needtocharge.com. It'll automatically fill in your number plate. So you just have to hit one button which says, I need to charge. And that'll send a message to the person that's on charge and say someone's waiting to charge. And then you can respond either in the app or via email. The way it works is it hides all the information behind the scenes. So you're never sharing your email address with anyone. You're never sharing your phone number with anyone. But it then sort of allows you to message each other to say, oh, I'm going to be back in 10 minutes, or sorry, I'm going to be an hour, or you know, or whatever. It's a way of opening up the communications so that people then know, okay, well, I can just wait at the charger for a few minutes for them to come back, or they're going to be here all night. I'm going to move on to another charger.
So I'm trying to think of use cases for this that I've come across in my personal life, just to share with the listeners. And so there are examples. I'll give you a couple of examples, actually, for people listening. The first one is at motorway service stations. There's a legacy network that were the first ones out there. They put normally two chargers in there, but on one of the chargers they had CCS and CHAdeMO, and on the other charger they had CHAdeMO and AC. Now, I drive a Renault Zoe, which needs AC power. If I turn up and there's one car charging, but it's using the AC side, maybe on the, you know, they've got their Leaf plugged into the CHAdeMO, it'll be great to be able to message someone and say, hey, I really need to charge my Zoe. Would you mind moving to the other one? And the EV community is mostly friendly, and somebody will be fine with that. The other one as well is we tried having an EV with the Zoe, 22 kilowatt hour, worked really well, fantastic, let's get the bigger one. So we've now got the bigger battery. I often charge now when I don't need to. It's always good to be topping up if you're on a long journey. And if someone messaged me and said, hey, I need to charge, in that situation, I don't need the charge. I would then go out and just unplug because I was just charging sort of opportunistically, if that makes sense. What are some of the stories? Have you had any feedback from your users in terms of examples of how they've used Need to Charge?
Those examples are great. Like, people that are opportunity charging is a great example where you would want to be able to say, look, I'm opportunity charging, but if you need to use it, absolutely fine. Other examples of people using it in their workplace. So if you've got, you know, maybe 5 or 10 EVs that are at a workplace and your workplace has 1 or 2 chargers, what you don't want to do is, you know, have a chat group or something like that set up. It's easiest just to, you know, if you come along and just say, see someone on a charger, just send them a charge request, and then when they're done, they can let you know. So yeah, that sort of thing. And then also I used it, as I say, and one of the reasons I started off was that in block of flats that I was using, and it was just a way of being able to securely communicate with people that actually you may not necessarily want to give them your number or other details. There are lots of examples of ways it can be used. I would say the way that I would not want it to be used is like as an aggression thing to say get off the charge or whatever, but it's as a way of just sharing the infrastructure as it evolves.
Yeah, there was one time when I pulled up to a charger and somebody had just pulled in before me. So I was like, oh, this is not great. But it was at a motorway service station. So I thought, and I had maybe 5 or 10 miles left. They plugged in and wandered off. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to wait because I'm desperate. But it's at motorway services, so they're not going to be more than half an hour, 45 minutes. So as they walked off and went into the service station, the charger tripped out. Aside from trying to remember what the guy looked like and walking around Fleet Services trying to look for him, I was just sitting there desperate for a charge, and his car, another Zoe, had just made the dashboard go red and it had stopped charging. That it would have been so good if he was on Need to Charge, because I could have pinged him and gone, hey, your charging session has stopped. Do you want to come back? And, you know, even if I couldn't have used it, it would have... So he would have got back to his car and found it was a wasted session. As it was, I'd limped down the road and used a Polar charger in Basingstoke. But when you first started to see people use it, that must have been a really nice feeling.
It's a great feeling when someone uses something that you create, and you know, you get the feeling where, wow, I've actually done something useful and not just for me. Because, as I say, I give this away free, I don't exactly have a marketing budget to go with it. So in all, having 5 users to start with, I mean, there were 5 users for quite a short amount of time. And then I thought, well, how am I going to get the word out? So I went onto a couple of EV forums and on Facebook. And that's a good way to sort of obviously spread the word. But I don't know if you've used the internet, but people can be quite opinionated on there. A lot of people might, well, not a lot of people, but a number of people, and they tend to be like the vocal minority, might just reply and say, no use, or, you know, this won't work, or that sort of thing. And that immediately puts a downer on it. And then everyone else sees that and they're like, oh, well, if this isn't going to be useful for me, then I'm just going to stop reading now. I would say over the course of maybe a year, you see the numbers steadily grow, and then you start to have more users that join per day. But then you also get a few advocates. And so I've had a few people that have said, oh, you know, I've told everyone at work, or I've told everyone in my group. And then some people have said, oh, I've actually made things. So some of them made magnetic things that they put on the chargers to say, why don't you start using Need to Charge at this charger so that we can, you know, share it in a responsible way. And there's one guy in Ireland, a guy called Phil, who's started making these discs for people that, you know, that you put in the chart, that you put in the Tastis holder, but like making, you know, laminated discs with a sucker on that you can put in your window with the QR codes. And all you do is you send him a quid for the postage, and he will send you out one of these, a whole pack of things like windscreen stickers and things to put on other people's cars just to let them know about it, and things to put on chargers, and just ways of spreading the word. I mean, people are... He has single-handedly got Ireland mobilised on this. It's amazing. But yeah, it's just that you get real advocates, and then they start posting in it, and that's when I've seen people posting on, you know, Twitter and on Facebook and that sort of thing. It's that's when I think, wow, this is really you know, pleasing to see, and then obviously I'm then encouraged more to develop it and improve it and that sort of thing.
So you've owned an EV for a couple of EVs, but you've been as part of the EV gang for a while now. How have you seen it change over the years?
I see more and more on the roads and more EVs on the road, and that's a great thing. And you know, I think when I first started, everyone was like, "Well, why are you getting an EV? Because you know, it only goes 20 miles or something like that." And I think there's, you know, you get, I mean, I come from a petrol head background. I absolutely loved my, you know, fast cars, big engines, superchargers, the lot. And it was only when I sort of went for a ride in my friend's Tesla, I thought, oh, they're not all gee whizzes, then there's actually more to them. I think there is that mindset that needs changing around the general public, because most people will assume that an EV only goes a short distance, that it doesn't perform very well. And I think that is slowly changing. And I wouldn't, as much as I've mentioned them, I wouldn't call myself a Tesla fanboy, but I would say that they, for me, made sort of electric cars a bit cooler and a bit more something you'd want to drive. Ironically, that then got me into the i3. I would say the thing for me is that you don't tend to see many EV drivers with particularly bad etiquette. Yes, you get people that use a charger as a parking space, which is frustrating. Then you've obviously got the whole, you know, plug-in hybrids and things like the self-charging hybrid movement and all that sort of thing that does my nut. There is a lot of misinformation and miscommunication of information out there, and it's a lot of it's backed by the oil industry and how they want to try and see things grow. And you get the government targets, which are completely silly, like saying by 2040, you know, that everything must at least have a battery. And it's like, wow, that's going to be difficult to do, isn't it? And it's really not, and it's not going to further the cause at all about moving people to electric. So I would say that, yes, things have started to grow more. Yes, you get the situation where people are using chargers more and that sort of thing. But I think people are generally have a good etiquette, I would say. In the UK, it's not a huge community. When I went over, I was working recently in Amsterdam, and every other taxi, for example, is an electric car. And then you know, traveling to other places, and just the level of the electric cars is really growing rapidly, and it's got quite a way to go, but there is promise.
And you've seen both sides of it now that you're a Tesla owner. So you pull up to those stalls where there's 8, 10, 12, 14 chargers, and so you get bummed if you have to share the power with someone these days because you're living in luxury.
Yeah, the sharing the power and the idea that I can only charge at 50 kilowatts. Oh, yeah.
You know, oh no!
First world problems. But yeah, I think. I've only used superchargers, I would say, twice so far, because I've only had the car for a few weeks. The community is friendly. You know, I got in there, I plugged in, and you know, very soon I was just chatting to people. It was a pleasant place to be. Again, that's probably my geeky side coming out, and a lot of people probably just want to plug in and just head off just as they would at a petrol pump or whatever. But I think it actually does promote chatting to people, because you know, if you plug in, you even if you only need a 10 or 15 minute charge, you can go and get your coffee, you can chat to people, and then come back to your car and head on.
I guess ultimately, as an EV owner, what you're hoping for is a time in the future where the infrastructure matches the cars on the road to such a point where they don't need to use your website, because there's always availability. And in a way, you're solving a problem in 2019 that I guess as an EV fan, you're hoping isn't there in 2030. You're solving a problem which you hope goes away, I guess. Or will we always want to? Will we always want to say, can I use that charger?
I think that's fair. I mean, I liken it to when I took a role at a company, and my job was effectively to make myself redundant. So it was to say, right, you need to improve the processes and the ways of working in this area so much that you are no longer needed and everything just works seamlessly. I would imagine that there's going to be a trade-off between the infrastructure grows enough, but then there's also battery technology that improves. And when every car can do 5,000 miles on one charge, how much are you going to use public chargers? I think there is hopefully going to be a future where this app is not needed. I would like to think that it will evolve into something else as the times change. And then, you know, it'll have a user base, and then that user base can, you know, move with it.
So when I knew I was going to be speaking to you, I thought, well, I better log back into the app. And I was delighted that when we changed the car a few weeks ago now, a couple of months ago maybe, I'd obviously, and I'd totally forgotten I did this, I'd obviously logged, one of the first things I did was log into needtocharge.com and update my registration plate, which I'd forgotten I'd done, but I was very impressed with my own sense of my own organisation, which is kind of ironic because I was an hour late for the interview that I'm doing with you. But I guess that's, you know, if anyone's listening and they use needtocharge.com and you've changed your EV, remember to change your number plate in there and update it. And if anybody is listening to the show right now, I would really hope that if they're in the UK, that whilst they're listening, they're also getting their phone out, getting their laptop out, and signing up for needtocharge.com. You've got apps, iOS and Android. It's just a case of searching, yeah, in the app stores.
Exactly right, yeah, that's right. And you can have multiple EVs on there, so you're not just limited to one EV per app or anything like that. The other thing I'm doing at the moment is trying to work with some charging companies to say, you know, can this be promoted on your chargers? And then ultimately, if we can start working to say, okay, well, how much does a charger know about a car? So then ultimately, you know, you can just rock up to a charger and then send the request from the charger, taking as much of the effort out of things as possible. You know, there's a lot that technology should be able to solve. There's really nothing stopping it working in any country. You know, one of the enhancements that I got asked to add recently was having a different view for different number plates. So I tried to put just about every different EU number plate on there, so you could just change in your settings to see what's shown in the app. But yeah, effectively a number plate. It's a number plate. It's just digits and numbers. So yeah, you can use it in any country.
I'm sure people listening to this right now, if they haven't already, they're about to be signing up for it. What's your hopes for how it's going to develop, or is that a top secret at the moment?
My hopes are that everyone will be using it, and that to make the EV community sort of more collaborative, and that, yeah, as I say, working with some of the charging companies just to get them using it, because really there's only so much you can do in terms of, you know, telling your friends and that sort of thing. But if it can become a way of, just a part of your natural routine for charging, that's, I think, a better place to be.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you once again to Chris for joining me on the podcast for your Saturday special edition today. A brilliant idea. I'm sure you will agree with me. Right, Sunday show will be all about question of the week this week. How can we replace lost revenue from fossil fuels when we're all driving EVs? You can email me hello@evnewsdaily.com or leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube. There are 258 patrons of the podcast, and I got some new names to say hello to on Sunday's show. Thank you very much for everybody who makes this show happen. Gives me the resources to get this out every single day. Our premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, doing big solar installs here in the UK. Brad Crosby, my premium partner, and Avid Technology as well. If you'd like to get any of the previous shows, they are all online for free. A lot of interview shows in there as well. If you use the little search box on my blog, type in Saturday Special, you'll find them. And you can get the new shows first and free and automatically by hitting subscribe in your podcast app. Come and say hi on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.